Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Greetings, listener dear, I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of the podcast that we like to call Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
It's every way to start your day, listening to our podcast. It's not the right jingle, is it?
It's not the right jingle at all. That's from Patreon-only episodes. That's not even the jingle for our Patreon-only episodes, but it's an enticement for people. If
Absolutely
you want to know
right.
what that's all about, get yourself over to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare and join us. Join us today.
There's a whole new world of Pappies waiting for you on the Patreon. And I know it sounds like the kind of thing we'd say, but every time we do a live record in London and we have a drink afterwards, always listeners come up and chat about being patrons and how it's their favourite part is the stuff that goes on the Patreon. And that sounds like something I'd say, but it's happened like 3 or 4 times now recently, where if you're in, it's great fun. So why don't you give it a go just for a month or two? See how you get on.
In fact, you can do a 7-day free trial. So give it a try for 7 days, and then make a decision after that.
And then change your name and do it again for another 7 days.
Yeah, I think all you need is an email. You could do that as many times as you like. Just start setting up new emails. They're free, aren't they? Emails are free.
Last time I bloody checked.
Yeah, for the moment, isn't it? Yeah.
Probably called X-mails now.
Huh? Yeah.
Check out the Patreon. It's a real treat, and we really enjoy doing it.
Speaking of a real treat, we have the fantastic Eric Rushton, one of my absolute faves of the new crop of comedians coming through these days.
These bloody days.
The new. We're the new crop.
Are they the new crop?
Or
He's even newer than us.
What? A fellow member of the new crop.
A fellow member of the new crop. He did start in the last 2 decades. But closer towards the end of that period.
Okay.
He's our generation.
We're at different ends of the new crop generation, I guess. Exactly, let's just say that and draw a line underneath it.
Yeah, let's say no more about it. It's a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. And we did ask for people to, because the hotline's got, it's another hotline episode. We've got some hotline.
What?
We got a WhatsApp message coming up. Look forward to that. We've got a Skype message coming up. Look forward
to
that.
We've still got it. We're still hip.
So, we've also had a message from Bennett Kavanagh. Now, the reason I say Bennett Kavanagh rather than just doing front names only is because he's done us a real favour here, and you may want to give this fellow a follow because he's a comedian, musician, and writer. And he writes, "Hi, Pappies, long-time listener and big fan of the show. You guys mentioned on the last Slamdown episode that you wanted a jingle for the hotline, so I thought I'd write one for you.
No!
Hopefully the type of thing you're after. Can change the lyrics up if you need, / include the 10-hour mix to match the quickfire jingle. Hope you, Fanshawe, and his Irish cousin are all doing well. Best wishes, Bennett Kavanagh." So here we go. Let's have a listen to our brand new Bennett-based jingle. 0208123327 what's your beef? 0208123327 what's your beef? It's given me very strong Radio 1 in the 90s kind of vibes, but I'm enjoying the hell out of that.
It's giving me pure enjoyment. Can we go again?
Yeah, let's hear it again. 0208123327
what's your beef? 0208123327 what's your beef? Right, let's see if it's worked. Clarky, go sing it right now. See if the number's stuck. Go.
0208123327225.
There's no 125 on the end, Clarky. It's just what's your beef?
What's your beef?
That's the confusing bit, that what's your beef, if you're not listening carefully, can sound like 125.
Was so I close?
Everything up to the 125, you were bang on, mate.
Was it really?
Yeah. You nailed it.
At that point, you kind of started seeing the Matrix and started saying numbers instead of words, or you started seeing numbers instead of colours.
So thank you, Bennett. Bennett Kavanagh. You can get him at
well
Instagram,
done, Bennett.
TikTok and Twitter at Bennett Cav.
We'll
Bennett
finish
Cav.
With that. We'll have a few bit more at the end. If
no,
you don't
do
mind.
You know what? Do you know what? We've
no.
got another one coming up after. We've got another. So I tell you what, let's enjoy Eric. He's absolutely brilliant, solving some beefs that you sent in. Oh, by the way, as well, if you want to send in a beef, we've got to tell you, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. It's a free email. Emails are still free, guys. So
well,
if you want to do
X-mails,
do
it, I call them.
If you want to do it the traditional way, it's Gmail. If you want to do it the traditional way, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email today, or call that hotline, or WhatsApp that hotline, or send a voice note to the WhatsApp of that hotline. And that number again...
0208123 3272,
what's your beef?
0208123 3272,
what's your beef?
Your
beef. There we go.
Enjoy the show.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Is it bad to admit I'm not really familiar?
No, it's all right.
So I don't know how the format... I mean, I've got what you've given me an email, but I don't know the format.
Yeah.
So I'm the... Like, you're all the hosts, right? I'm the guest. That's right.
Yeah.
That's none of you are also guests.
Imagine if you came in and you were the host.
Yeah. We'll do it that way if you want. I'm fine.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's kick things off.
Let's mix it up.
We'll take a back seat for this bit, and you just give a little intro.
Welcome to Pappy's Podcast, the podcast about flatmates. Today I'm joined by Tom Parry-Wicks, Matthew Crosby and Ben Clark. How are you doing, guys?
Really good, Eric. How are
so
you, man?
So excited to be on the show.
Yeah, good. Just looking forward to getting through all the regular features we do that I know about.
Any particular faves that leap out at you, Eric?
Idiot of the Week. I like that one.
It's always me.
Flatmate from Hell. Love that one.
Don't get me started on that. Flatmate from Hell.
Unexpected item in the laundry basket. That's always a good one.
This is better than anything we've ever done.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we have these? Because they're all really good.
Two or three.
Can we give you a job, Eric?
I'd love to. I really need... Does it pay? I really need money.
Sorry, I meant internship. Sorry.
Right, okay.
Can we do an internship?
Is this a lucrative podcast?
It's not the Peter Crouch podcast.
Well, I know I've kind of... Like, I didn't mean to be insulting. I just, you know, don't listen to loads of things, but... When I told someone
I think if you need to ask, you probably know the answer to that question.
No, but I told someone else I was doing it, and they were like, "Oh, that's a big podcast."
Wow!
So,
who is that person? Because we'd love to book him.
James Cook. Do you know James Cook? He's a comedian.
James Cook.
He said this was a big podcast. So,
cheers, wow. James.
Yeah, in terms of duration.
Yeah.
It probably meant long. That's a long one. That's a long one, mate.
90 minutes long. Is that what this is? In duration in terms of number of episodes.
Yeah. Both really.
Can I pitch a TV series to you, Eric?
Yeah. Is this one of the features?
This is unexpected item in the laundry basket.
Okay. What's the
title? I don't know why we gave it that title. It doesn't make any sense.
I hope I haven't ruined the structure of the show. I know I've come on and introduced you all.
Don't worry.
I don't. Okay. What's the show?
We blindfold you.
Yeah.
We dress you.
Wait a sec.
Surely we dress him first, right? Or
this
surely
is a TV show.
Himself.
No, because he doesn't know what he's wearing. That's the
right.
But am I naked when you blindfold me, or do you undress
no, you're
me?
Being,
then
you can have undergarments on.
Okay,
We blindfold you. We dress you.
Yeah.
Then the TV show opens with you being positioned in front of a door. The door opens. You walk out onto a TV set, and you just have to host whatever's there in front of you.
That's all what I did with this podcast. So
one week it could be a chat show. One week it could be MasterChef final. And it's Eric Rushton hosts.
Mr. Eric.
Suddenly you're in Top Gear.
I'm all for it. Do you have any... sway in the industry to make this happen?
Sadly lacking in sway. Yes.
That's the one thing we don't have. We got a podcast, zero sway.
I think that's a good idea. I think it depends. I'm quite unknown. I think surely the seller of that show is the person. Do you know what I mean? Not to play too down on myself. But
No, listen, a little advice from show business. You don't talk yourself out of a project, all right?
Right, okay,
If someone's pitching a vehicle for you, don't say no, it'd be better with Bradley Walsh. You've got to back yourself.
It would be, because he's going to be adaptable. He's a good presenter. Exactly.
Bradley, it'd be like a duck to water with Bradley. People wouldn't tell that it was a format.
Oh, do you want it to be someone? Did you pitch it to me because you thought I'd be bad at it and that's where the comedy would be?
It would be a challenge. We're not saying bad. We're saying it would be a challenge. Right. It would be more of a challenge to you than it would be to Bradley, and that's where the entertainment comes from. That's where the conflict comes from.
Hmm. Is this a collective pitch from you, or did you know about this idea beforehand?
This is the reason we got you here.
Okay.
There is no podcast. It's a surprise pitch meeting. We're about to be joined by the head of Channel 4 comedy, so fix up. Look smart. Here we go.
Yeah.
I can tell you now, they will say what they always say, which is, I'm sorry, it's a great idea, but we do have no money.
It's sad but true.
Should we talk about, because you're up at the fringe at the moment, you're at the Edinburgh fringe, so have you got a flat share situation at the fringe that's different to your one at home?
I'm with James Cook, who I mentioned,
big fan of the pod,
Jay Handley, you know him, he looks like Jesus.
Yeah
He's got COVID at the moment, actually, so that's a worry. I obviously feel bad for him, but then there's a selfish part that's like, are we all going to get COVID and miss our shows and stuff like that? Seems to be fine so far.
You're living in a COVID house at the moment.
Yeah.
In the grip of COVID. Because obviously back in the day, that used to be quite commonplace. Are you doing anything extra? Are you doing extra kind of extra washing, you know, not letting him into the communal areas, that kind of stuff?
Well, we don't go in the communal areas when he's in them. He'll tell us when he's going into the kitchen. I sort of forgot how COVID works, because, you know, he was like, do you want me to wipe down the surfaces? And that's not a thing, is it? Wasn't that just like...
It used to be.
Isn't it airborne? I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't last on surfaces as long as we thought it did. When it first started, it was like, you've got to, you know, you're getting it from a handrail or from a...
So I don't think there's much you can do. Someone washed all the towels, which was all right, but it was a bit annoying because then there was no towels. Someone just took it upon themselves to, like, it's a disease house, let's wash all the towels.
So now you're drying.
I've got wet hands, so that's going to spread disease more, isn't it?
If it spreads in water droplets... Shaking off your hands when they're wet is about the worst thing you can do.
Exactly. So that, you know, I don't want to cause beef. They might even hear me now.
Are you saying the best thing you could do is not wash your hands whilst you sing Happy Birthday twice?
Yeah, that's right.
It's just the singing that's the most important bit.
I think actually singing Happy Birthday is no good either, because it's your, you know, there's a lot of plosives in that, isn't it? God. Birthday, you know, it's got a lot of that kind of thing in it. You know, it's spreading germs all over the place. I think. Sing it in your head and don't wash your hands.
Yeah.
In fact, stay out of any room with taps in it.
Yeah. It's going to be quite difficult, but I do like the bathroom and the kitchen. Also, President Obonjo, by the way, to give you the full cast list.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And a guy called Obi.
How's the president?
He's all right. I'm just telling his anecdotes now, but he lost his suitcase or whatever on the train up. Because it's like, he wears a uniform, the President Obonjo uniform. So I don't know what happened. I'm seeing him like loads because I'm, you know, out all the time, not partying, just working on the craft.
Of course.
But I think he had to go and like go to random shops and try and assemble another uniform.
Because he can't presumably gig in civvies, can he? He can't be gigging. He can't rock up in shorts and a t-shirt and go, oh, by the way,
he'd have to rewrite the show, President's Day Off.
Yeah.
He's probably holding that back for like, you know, a fourth or fifth outing when you've got to reinvent the format, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And how's your fringe going? Is it going all right?
Yeah, it's going good, I think. I'm enjoying it. Today was very good, actually. But yesterday was a bit meh. I'm not in a very good room, but I probably shouldn't say that on a podcast because, you know, I'm grateful to the free fringe and stuff like that. I mean, I guess you know the fringe rooms and all that. I'm in Cabaret Voltaire, which is a good venue, but I'm in a room called the Long Room.
Right.
And there's nosebleed and stuff like that, which is fine. But I thought I had a really good show today, and I think it was, but basically someone was at some industry, was at the back. And apparently they just could barely hear it. So I was like, I was a bit frustrated. I was like, what can I do about that?
Yeah.
Also, why don't you just move? Why don't you just move further forward? What are you doing?
Can you move around a bit in the room? Can you say, look, I've been told that the sound's not great, so I'm going to try and walk, or you know, I'm going to sort of walk the circumference of the room as I'm doing the show. And, you know, like, you're not going to hear everything, but you're going to hear more than you would.
Right.
Yeah, pace the long room.
I could do.
Unless that's the title of the show, it's going to feel weird.
No, it's not called. I also, one of the problems is the sound system. I'm not a tech and I didn't hire a tech because I'm cheap. The sound system is, because it's a club, I think it gets like reset to like what's best for a club every night.
Yeah.
So then I don't really know how to set it back, and it's all like bassy and shit. And can I swear? I don't know.
What's frustrating is people who work in the industry have such a lack of imagination that they'd probably report back and go, "Oh no, that's the comedian who he's quite quiet."
Yeah, exactly.
he's the
comedian
who,
that always has music playing in the background.
Yeah.
If you book him, you probably won't be able to hear him, and you'll be hungover, and he'll be, you know, tired. That's that guy.
That's the comedian. He's always really far away. He's always right at the end of a room.
It's really frustrating, to be honest. But I don't know. It's about the general public, isn't it? Probably.
Yeah.
But can you build a career off the general public? I don't know.
No. Well, we're here to tell you can't. We're living proof.
Anyway, you probably have big fans that listen to this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Got a couple of big fans, yeah.
Nice
got a few big fans, yeah. You know, we're very grateful to the people who listen to this podcast.
Yeah. But I am enjoying the show, by the way, and so I don't want to come across as, and it's fun and it's good.
It's a very good show. I saw it at the Vault Festival, so yeah. months and months ago.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. Even then, even in the early stages of preview,
even at the Vaults.
Yeah, I mean, actually,
there's a lot of bits in there, but it's quite different from then. Yeah, because that was like January or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a while ago, yeah.
The good thing about doing the Vaults Festival is it does lower your expectations of what a venue should be, so that by the time you get to Edinburgh you feel like you're playing in the fucking castle. The only way is up from the Vaults, isn't it?
I said I wouldn't want to say that. That Vault venue would be a dream if I had that.
Yeah, oh, I mean, crucially, it's in London. It's in Washington.
It would be. It wouldn't really come up on Nearby Now on the app.
You're not going to get a lot of footfall going past that venue.
If you do need to get to Ivo Graham in the courtyard for 7:30, that is going to be a bit of a push, actually. Venue to venue, you might be stretching it just a bit.
You're going to be really checking your watch around the sort of 3-4 minute mark, thinking, am I going to make this train?
And are you shaking the bucket at the end of the show?
Shake? What's that
what?
Mean? Is that like, are you trying to sound cool? I don't know what I mean. Do I have a bucket?
There's a rumour going round that you do a little dance at the end of your show and you really shake that bucket.
Shake the old bucket, mate.
Yeah, I have a bucket. It's quite, one thing I quite like about, which I think is new or in the last couple of years, the Laughing Horse, you can do pre-sales as well as bucket, so you get, I know that some people are coming already, but yeah, do the bucket. Trying to be brave enough to ask people for £10, that's what I'm going for. I just say it's worth £10. Everyone says £5, but like, fuck it. I want someone to be really ashamed if they put £5 in.
Yeah,
love that.
Yeah,
especially if they're putting £5 in and there's a group of them.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes it will just be like the loudest person in the group will go, "There you go, that's a £5, that's for us," and then they'll all walk out, like all seven of them will go, and you're like, "Come on, guys." I think the thing is, you wouldn't think twice if a show was at the Pleasance and it cost a tenner. You wouldn't go, "What, sounds like a rip-off?" You'd be like, "Yeah,
exactly." You wouldn't steal a handbag.
Crosby used to barricade the door and not let people through unless they coughed up. It was made for quite an uncomfortable end to the show, but money's money.
Yeah. We moved it to the start. That's what we did.
It was just, the whole show was the bucket speech.
Barricade the door and charge them to get in, and then they just fuck off, actually. We could get on with that day.
This is great. Can make Ivo Graham. From the sorting out your beef. Should we solve some beefs?
Let's do it.
Let's solve some beefs. Tom.
Hello.
I believe you've got a beef from Jordan.
Great. I think I have this time. Okay. A coach beef from Jordan, and he got in touch via WhatsApp. And it says here, send us a message today, 02081233272.
Absolutely right.
I've not done that before, and that felt quite good, actually.
You can send us a WhatsApp message just like our friend Jordan did. It's the future, guys.
You really tripped off the tongue, actually, Tom.
02081233272.
Yeah, we still haven't quite worked out what's the best way of saying the phone number, but those are all the right numbers in the right order.
Feels huge that we're on WhatsApp now, though.
It's pretty big.
We're on the up, actually, Jordan. We're on the up. Jordan's responded very well here. He's got he knows that he's messaging us at a good time in our career.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Right. I have a beef. On the packed four-hour coach from Sheffield to London, I was sat next to a man who repeatedly, and let's clarify this, it was around 15 or 16 times, started to drift into sleep, but very slowly leaning over onto me. But he did this so slowly that it took about 60 seconds from upright to basically head in my lap, meaning I had to wake him every 60 seconds to start the whole process again.
Oh.
It felt like a very short Groundhog Day, brackets Groundhog Minute. That's Jordan, that's not me.
Sure.
Yeah. But he beat me to it because I was about to wade in with that.
If you hadn't read it, you'd have said it.
Yeah, I mean, it was up there, and then I was like, he's on it.
Jordan's
absolutely
good,
boils my potatoes. Love the pod, lads. And then two like smiley faces with red cheeks.
Yeah, because it's WhatsApp.
Jordan from West London, and then a smiley face with red cheeks.
Lovely.
Yeah, classic. Oh, classic message there from Jordan.
Tell you what.
It's a great free range.
I like that emojis are now in play now that we're on WhatsApp.
Yeah. He seems quite chipper about the whole situation, actually. Ending it with two smiley faces and then a third smiley face after his name. I wonder if he actually needs this beef solved.
For someone so upbeat, I'm surprised that he's got a problem with someone falling asleep on him.
Well, I imagine he's off the coach now, so it's probably just relief.
That's a good point. It's a good point, yeah. I mean, it is a beef he needed us to solve, you know, a couple of weeks ago, probably.
Yeah, what is the solution to that? It's over. Is that normally how it works? That's just a bad thing that happened. That's not a problem.
You know, increasingly, we are getting people saying, what should I have done in this situation? And you know what? It's not a bad problem because, you know, it's obviously Jordan has already had the situation. The chances of lightning striking twice for Jordan are pretty slim, but there must be other listeners. Eric, when you travel up and down the country doing your fantastic stand-up comedy, do you ever take the coach as a coach ever an option?
Yeah, coach is quite a regular thing. I've only just learned how to drive. I still don't have a car.
Oh my God, you got straight to a coach.
Make a little bit of money on the journey home. Good
That's
move.
Ambitious. That's ambitious stuff.
So it's a passing.
Really difficult reversing parking in a coach, mate. Absolutely nailed it.
No wonder you're in Edinburgh. There's loads of coach parking. Pretty much every street is coach parking in Edinburgh. It's a great place to take your coach.
You know, like how Stephen Fry used to drive around London in a black cab so he could go wherever he wanted, not get recognised. That's what Eric does in Edinburgh.
That's a good idea.
In a coach.
Yeah. It does mean you have to ferry quite a lot of pensioners to the tattoo every night. But apart from that, it's a good mode of transport.
So, yeah, well, as a passenger, sorry, I should say correctly, I've been on the coach. It's my least favourite. Like, I always get the train if I can. I kind of think maybe that situation is particularly annoying, but it's kind of par for the course a little bit that someone's going to sit next to you and probably fall asleep. But all the way on your lap's bad. What I do is, I don't know what I could say, I just try and look mental so no one sits by me and I'll get my laptop out and all my equipment. And I know it's bad to do that, but I've done it before where it's an almost to capacity coach and I'm like the only one where no one sat by me. I think you've just got to be selfish and you've got to really, that's how you get ahead in this life. I think the problem doesn't start with sitting next to the guy. The problem's before that. The problem is his mentality getting onto the coach.
Right.
It's got to be almost impossible for someone to sit by you. You've got to be the mental one.
You've got to kind of adopt a persona, coach bastard.
Yeah, it should. If he got on that coach correctly,
yeah.
If you got on that coach correctly, the other person should be writing into the podcast. That's how
Okay. So before you go on, you get yourself into a mindset. You become this other person.
Look mental,
become
like weird eyes, like really open eyes and just darting around and just like definitely have the seat covered. When someone says, is anyone sitting there? Don't respond the first two times.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's brutal.
I think the other way you can go is be very enthusiastic about someone sitting next to you, and that would instantly scare them away as well.
Well, my suggestion was going to be the first time his head comes onto your shoulder, if you go, I don't think he's going back. Or he always stays there.
I believe it's onto his lap, and I reckon if you stroke his hair gently, he's upright, and he's maybe upright in two ways. But.
I think that's the way to do it as well. You know, if his head's in your lap, you stroke his hair, and I think either he's going to fall into a deep slumber. You're going to have a nice warm thing on your lap. Who doesn't like having a nice warm thing on your lap? You can eat your dinner off him, whatever you like.
It's like lap dogs. The reason lap dogs were invented, I was going to say, but bred was to keep posh people's laps warm when they were in their horses and carriages.
I've never got this. I can't remember a time where I've specifically thought, oh, my lap's cold. Hands, feet, like...
I thought you were asking for a show of hands then, whether you agreed or not. and I thought we gave the correct response.
Like a cold lap?
I don't know. Is it because it's cold? It's just because it feels nice. I don't know. I don't know if it's because it's cold.
Are you, as a season ticket holder, in the top right corner of the Stan Cullis stand... At the Molyneux, where the wind would absolutely whip around the corner on the autumn and winter days, I yearned for a lap dog because it's chiefly your lap that was getting it.
Really?
Just get yourself a Bovril and slowly pour it into your lap.
I think I'm with Eric on this though. It's just there because it's nice to have a warm lap as opposed to your lap is so cold you need to stick another living thing on top of your lap to warm it up. Because otherwise, because you know they say, don't they, you lose 80% of your body heat out through the top of your head. No, top of your head. And there aren't head dogs, are there?
You need a head dog.
You know, no one's getting a little Alsatian and popping it on you.
They call me the head dog, guys. Eric, ask around on the streets of Edinburgh who the head dog is.
I've heard it, yeah. I didn't want to bring it up.
They'll point you in our way, my boy.
I thought you'd be embarrassed if I brought it up.
So. I read the whole of that email thinking it was shoulder and lap.
Even though you read the word lap.
It does fundamentally change things, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think head on the shoulder's... fine. I think it's not great, but it's fine. You could happily have someone's head on your shoulder for a bit of a journey.
And this is on a plane flight into the Bahamas, right? I must admit, I read this and I have died. It's my blind spot, isn't it, really? I don't really know what they mean.
You've never learnt any words, have you? That's the problem with you.
is there a world where what was going on here was an approach for intimacy?
I'm saying no. And also, no. Don't say the old as if it's a move that loads of people do where they stick their head in someone's lap. It's illegal. If you're doing it deliberately, it's illegal.
But it's the 60 seconds bit that makes it legal, isn't it? Because there's just enough time for that.
I think it is.
No, if you do something slowly enough, it can't be illegal.
The defence rests, Your Honour.
You robbed a bank over the course of a week and I got away with it.
I don't think that's true, Tom. Any bit of it.
Would it be different on a train?
Yeah, I think it would, actually. I think it'd be much less acceptable on a train. Obviously, I think on a coach, that's just what happens.
It's a lawless place.
Yeah, coach, it's like people fall asleep next to you. Yeah, exactly. Train, you've got a lot of... I don't know. I just feel like... I don't know why it's different.
You could go opposite, couldn't you?
Well, you can move about on a train, yeah.
You've got someone facing you, haven't you? You've probably got someone facing you in most seats. Or in lots of seats, so you could have somebody else. You could be making eye contact, and you know it's a bit more exposed.
If you don't have a table, you've got three potential laps to go for.
Yeah, the way Eric's described preparing himself to go on a megabus is the way innocent men prepare themselves for going into prison in the movies, and I feel like there's like a slightly similar mindset of like you've got to fucking become this bastard. You've got to get on there. You've got to challenge the hardest guy on the coach.
Yeah.
Shin him on the first day. Make sure they know who's boss. Sit and spread.
Shiv the biggest guy on the coach as soon as you get off.
Like proper kind of like it's like going into prison. It's like it's a lawless environment. Those coaches.
Where, yeah, no, absolutely. You
know, all bets are off.
When I was in my gap year, I travelled around the States on the Greyhound bus, right? And basically, they leave from like the worst places in any town and go to the worst place in the next town.
And they called MAGA buses in America.
What? You know, are what? They called MAGA buses?
Do you know what?
Like the mega bus.
Oh, I get you. I get you. Yes.
We're going to get emails about that because that's really good stuff. Whenever Clarkie does something really good and we don't acknowledge it, we get a lot of emails about it.
I know, that was good. I didn't know if that was a thing that people were already saying or if that was a Clarkie original, but Clarkie, I tell you what, let's do all that again. Let's do it because I wasn't on my game there. You were.
I tell you what, let's go from the top. Start with the bucket speech and then we think this podcast is worth £10.
Absolutely. Join the Patreon, please. patreon.com/PappyFlatShare. But when I was there, so I was in, I think I was in a place called Stockton in California. I think that's where it was. And the only, we wanted to get out and see whatever the next place was. And the only coach that left was leaving at like 6 a.m. So we had to get up really, really early, leave our Motel 6 and wait for this coach. And we waited, and there was a guy there called Kenny, and he was eating candied corn and sort of like throwing them in the air and catching them in his mouth. He was talking very animatedly, and he said, "Oh, I'm meeting my friend off this coach, the one you're getting on. My friend's getting off. He's just got out of prison, and he's going to come and live with me now. He's been in prison for 10 years, and he's getting out of prison." And we were like, "Oh no, I don't want to be there for this." And he said, "I said, what did he do? Just because you know you've got it, you've got it." He said, "Oh, he shot his wife in the head." And
I was like, "Oh my god,
no, oh no, this is so bad." And anyway, then he goes, "Oh, hang on a sec, hello," and the wife showed up, and a woman with like a quarter of her head missing showed up to meet him as well. I'm literally, I don't think I've ever been more terrified in my life of being with these three people. Because it was like a cartoon, like a big chunk of her, the top of her head was just not there. And he was like, "Oh yeah, this is the,
She turned up to shoot him.
No, I think she turned up to say, "Oh, you know, all forgiven. You know, time is a
forgive
great
and forget." I imagine she has.
She's got no idea who this
he
guy
did
is.
What?
But anyway, that's what I think of when I think of coaches. You know,
God, I always think of them. Call them greyhounds. I call them MAGA buses.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That's good, yeah.
Really good.
Beef solved.
From the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Dear Beef Brothers, I have a flatmate based beef that I would appreciate your opinions on. I live with three flatmates. For anonymity purposes, we shall refer to them as wife, daughter, and son. Recently, I was fortunate enough to receive a $500 voucher to a popular online merchant through a side hustle that I maintain. I view the frequent receipt of gifts and rewards such as this one as a unique opportunity to spend the money without regard to normal flat budgeting considerations. Money's in quotation marks, I don't really get why.
It's a voucher.
As such, I thought it would be nice to treat my flatmates to a gift of their choosing. I thought they could each choose something they want, and then the leftover, I would indulge some of my own personal passions, brackets such as board and card games, etc. I did not want to set a price limit, instead wanting each flatmate to pick something they would like. I figured if one went for something slightly expensive, it would be balanced out by another choosing something a little cheaper. I bet you can see where this is going. Yeah. By the time all three flatmates had chosen their gifts, the $500 voucher was down to less than $20. I felt very disappointed and in a quandary. Revoking a gift before checkout or suggesting an alternative did not seem like the right thing to do, so I had to take it on the chin. Do I have a right to be disappointed in my flatmates taking full advantage of the generosity, or did I get what I deserved for not setting limits in the beginning? The icing on the cake was the fact that our cat got more from the $500 voucher than I did. But I always knew that the cat was a greedy little shit anyway. Beef Brothers, please advise. Thank you in advance, Heath.
Thank you, Heath. Right. Eric, what are your immediate thoughts about this situation?
Yeah, I think he's just an idiot. I don't know what the standard...
Bear in mind, this is one of our dear listeners here.
Yeah, no, I would say, I think he's like, idiot to me doesn't reflect morally, really. That's just like a fact. You can be an idiot, but you'd be a great person and someone I value. But I suppose he's been very nice, but I don't really get the need to, maybe I'm a psychopath. Why is he... You didn't even have to share it in the first place. Maybe you set... Don't tell them to set their limit. I think that's crazy as well. Be like, oh, I'll get you all something for 50 quid each or whatever. Just get them three gifts.
Yeah.
But you of your own choosing. Don't do this pick what you want thing. Because I'd hate to be in that situation, someone to tell me I've got this $500, pick some at... I don't know.
Yeah.
Heath, what are you on about, mate?
Yeah, he's... I think that's it, isn't it? Because the worst, like... One of the worst things about presents, and I'm not a great fan of receiving gifts. I find it tricky. Everything around it, I find very tricky. But one of the worst bits of it is a couple of weeks before your birthday, when when your parents, and it's I feel guilt, tremendous guilt for it, because your parents say, "What would you like for your birthday?" Oh, it's just
you're kidding me.
It's such a hard question. Just get me something.
And it's a crap question.
Won't like,
buy me something. I'll like it because you tried to buy it me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then I'll get rid of it.
Yeah, even if I don't like the thing. It's going straight down the chatter. But the thought is what's important there. But there's literally, I think that's it. I think if you could turn back time, Heath, I would have just bought three nice things.
Yeah,
did he say that it was frequently, he was getting these vouchers frequently? Is that what he said?
Let's have a look. Oh no, he said, the opposite. He said, I view the infrequent receipt of gifts and rewards such as this one as a unique opportunity to spend the money without regard to normal flat budgeting considerations. Right. So he's saying because it's so rare, you know.
It could be a treat for everybody.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's what you've got to do. I think next time, I know you say it's infrequent, so if there is a next time, get one thing that the whole family can enjoy that costs about 500 Australian
dollars. Yeah.
Hot tub, exactly. That's exactly the sort of thing I was thinking of. Get a hot tub or an Alexa or...
PlayStation.
Or both. PlayStation, there you go. I mean, yeah.
How much is a small climbing wall?
I don't know. A small climbing wall?
Yeah, small climbing wall.
I reckon you could comfortably get a small climbing wall for something in the region of 500 Aussie dollars. Surely.
Because you don't need the... Like, you've got the wall already, right? So you only need to just hammer in some notches or something?
Sounds complicated. Yeah. We're off the idea of climbing wall. The notch hammering thing is just putting me right.
Hot tub's much better, yeah.
It's put me right off it, yeah.
But you're not getting a hot tub for 500, are you? You're going to have to notch yourself a wall. You can get a hot tub for 500. What?
I've just searched, by the way. It's about, at the current rate of exchange, XE are giving us... £257 British pounds.
We're in trouble here.
I didn't realise that was. I was sort of thinking it was about 400 quid. Mm. But I think you can get a 200 quid hot tub, maybe one of the inflatable ones. But then is that, you know.
It's a paddling pool.
Is it a paddling pool? Yeah. You get a paddling pool. It's Australia. It's hotter there for longer than it is hot here.
It's true.
Or, you know, a more coherent sentence.
So are we saying next time buy a paddling pool?
Get one of those fucking tandems where the whole boys can all, we can all hop on as a family and fuck around.
So what, for all four of them? A quandam?
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Little basket for the cat. Little basket for the, like, it's fucking room on the broom. It's like a tandem and off you go.
You've been maybe get a cat.
Yeah.
Maybe get a cat or a dog.
Well, they've got a cat. Hasn't he already got a cat?
Got a cat, and the cat got more than he did.
So tell him he's doing a lesson.
That's what I want.
Teach that cat a lesson by getting a better cat.
A lap cat.
Get yourself a lap cat.
A head cat.
Head cat. Lap dog, head cat. And then, like, shoulder hamsters, like little epaulettes.
Like sort of brassard holders.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. If you can train them, you know, or like, I think the way to do it would be like Python scarf. That's, although actually Python's going to be quite tempted by the cat, right? If you've got a cat on your head and a Python around your neck, that's situation you're
that's
in.
That's the dream.
That's the dream. Yeah, yes.
Surely you just go $100 each, fill your guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And it becomes a game then. It's a bit like looking through the Argos catalogue. What made it fun was that you looked at the prices and you cut your cloth accordingly.
What could I get for £15? That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody gets $100.
Or you go, or we all chip in together and get this tandem.
This is quandam. Exactly it.
I think this guy is needy. I think that's what it happened. I think he wanted to be like, spend whatever you want, because there's some sort of hole there that needs
Daddy
filling.
Daddy loves you.
Well, yeah, and I think this actually reveals quite sort of deeper psychological issues, and I hope he gets the help he needs.
We try and stay clear of those. We try and aim for things more like quandams and shit like that. Yeah.
Maybe family therapy would have been the best choice.
But how are they getting to that therapy?
On a beer bike.
I reckon if your therapist saw you arriving on a quandam, they'd be like, there's nothing I can do for you guys.
You've already cracked it.
You've already cracked families. The family who quandams together stays together.
Be solved.
From the sorting out your
bees. Oh yeah, here we go. Right. So it's another appearance of the fantastic hotline.
Oh.
How many podcasts have got hotlines?
Exactly, Tom. How many podcasts have got hotlines? And how many podcasts have got no idea how to share? Okay, I don't want to share that. I just want to share audio. How many podcasts with hotlines? I've got one guy who's desperately struggling to see where the share sound button is. Okay, basic, share sound, but I don't want to share my desktop.
Do you not want to share your desktop because you've been shopping for quandams?
Yeah.
I do have a quandam up on my screen, to be honest with you.
Is there such a thing as a quandam?
Yeah.
And just put us out of our misery, Clarky. How much do they cost? What are they? Because that's you're getting that custom made, aren't you?
Oh, well, okay. This is precision tandems. Oh, they're not giving me.
No?
They're not being forthcoming with the prices. I think that's
giving you the good stuff.
Are you thinking that's how we finish this episode with the four of us on a quandam? Cycling around Edinburgh, flying in for Eric.
This is how it works is you buy the quandam, Parry. Well, you can buy it from the joint account. You buy the quandam, you cycle up from Exeter on your own to London. Then we hop on and then we do the big stretch. Three of us all the way up. Oh, we've got to pick Emma up as well. Sorry, Emma.
How long is this long room? Because what I'm thinking is we stick a sound system in the basket, Eric goes in the front seat, and we pedal him up and down the long room.
Right.
There's no sound issues.
Yeah. Why not just pedal the sound system?
Yeah, oh, where's yeah. the theatre in that, Eric?
And have me stationary and just move the speakers up and down.
That's a good point. He makes a good point.
Okay.
This is why you preview.
We'd have sorted this out at the vaults.
In the meantime, though, 7,199.
That's too much. That's just too expensive. We just can't.
We've only got
that.
We've got $500.
Yeah, we've got 250 quid. There's no way we're buying that. Here we go. Let's see if we can all hear this.
Hi, Pappies and guest. My name's Ewan, and I have an unwanted football dad friendship beef. Not wanting to sound like a humble brag, but my 7-year-old son is pretty good at football, something that I was not as a child, and as such goes to his local football team and plays every Saturday morning. The other Saturday, he scored what can only be described as an absolute belter from outside the box, where a number of other dads, more of the alpha dad variety, took an interest and turned to me to give me congratulations. Then turned to their children and berated them.
Oh, no.
I don't want to associate with these people. I don't want to become an alpha dad myself. How can I not discourage my son's sporting prowess, but distance myself from the advantage of these toxic masculine retrograde stereotypes? I need your help. Thanks, Ewan in Bromley.
Ewan in Bromley.
This This is a great beef.
This is a great beef. And I mean, yet another week when the hotline has beefed itself.
I tell you what, it was, you know, when you first told us how much it was going to cost to get up a hotline.
$500 Aussie dollars. Yeah.
Money well spent. I'm shocked and appalled, but it is really, it's paying off in dividends.
Right. We're doing all right. Okay. Eric. What your immediate thoughts?
Well, it's easier said than done, but I think you've got to, I think you've just got to call it out when it happens. Just say that's what you're doing, shouting at your kid, kind of thing. Which sounds a bit like a Gillette advert or something. You know, like a multi big multinational trying to sound like I could, it's, this whole thing sounds like a cliche, like the one kid scoring and the other kid's going, yeah, shit and that. I think you've got to step aside and say, yo, that's not cool. And then everyone claps and stuff. And yeah, and you're clean shaven. And if you're not brave enough to do that, which is hard to, I think you just got to talk to the kid and say, it was good that you scored.
Don't get a big head about it.
Could
you berate him for scoring?
That could level the playing field. Or just say, you know, all the other kids that the dads were calling shit, they have value too, even if they are shit at football. Like, even if they are terrible, they're just as important as you.
You know what? I like the second version of that. A, because I am a coward and I can't imagine anything worse than parenting somebody else's, or criticising another parent for their parenting. I feel like that is the main reason.
Yeah, it's but a tough one.
Also, that's, you know, like, this generation, there's no hope for them. There's no hope for us. It's the next generation we have to focus on, right? You know, there's no, like, as parents, you know, we try and do our best, but basically we're already programmed. The person we are has been programmed into us from birth. You're currently doing the programming on a young mind. That's exactly what you've got to do.
Another coward's way is to maybe just talk to the referee or the managers and just file a little complaint that, you know, that they should have a word about the parents doing it, kind of thing. And
I think the solution's simple to this one. You just got to go up to the biggest dad and shiv him.
Yeah,
absolutely. On the coach on the way to the ground. Yeah, that's it. Get in there early.
This is a good point, though, because, you know, that's what they say they look for. You know, if you want a kid to do well in sports, you have to have a mad parent, right? You know, that's I'm sure I've talked about this on the podcast before. Since I heard that bit of info, I've thought about it a lot. You know, like the Williams dad, King Richard, and Judy Murray. You know, you've got to be a little bit bonkers to turn out a world champion. You've got to bring the same sort of coach. You've got to bring the same sort of coach madness.
Right.
In fact, I think that's it. Be a bit more crazy-eyed about it. And then at the very least, you're going to scare off the other dads.
Wait, so are you saying that this dad should be like that to their own kid?
Yeah, I think
you're joining the bad dads.
Yeah.
I'm saying Ewan, you're going to have to...
He's got the best kid on the field.
Yeah, but does he want the best kid in the world? In every city, in every town, mate, there's the best kid in the field, right? And do you know where they stay? In the fucking field. Unless they've got a nutcase dad who's going to push him to their very limits. And then Will Smith is going to play him on telly.
Well, here's where I think you're right is.
Thank you. In fact, you don't need to tell me. I'm just happy with that.
If you say to your kid, look, what I do down there on the football field today, it's not real. Take it with a pinch of salt. Then you go down there and he scores a worldie and you fucking lay into him. You go, that was shit. Call that top corner. You get another 2 centimetres of that, it's going in off the bar, you fucking piece of shit. And the dads who were about to break their kids would go like, Jesus Christ, all right, mate, rein it in a bit. Oh, well played. Yeah. Well played, guys. And like, and by showing them that, by holding up a mirror,
yeah,
then they might, then I've paused to think, oh, actually, that guy's fucking nutty.
There's a certain utilitarianism to that, isn't there? That you're not necessarily doing what's right for your kid in that instance, but you're doing what's right for it's the greatest good for the greatest many, isn't it?
It's the whole tram situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
If your son's driving a tram and he's about to run over loads of people, do you shout at him or do you encourage him?
Or do you just carry on trying to look for an empty seat?
Yeah. Why did you kill one person? You could have killed seven if you let me pull that fucking lever. You're a disappointment to me.
Trick. I mean, it's a fantastic beef. Mm. And one that I think gets to the nub of how we all feel about our childhoods and how we'd like to feel about, you know, were we to become parents? It gets right there.
Tom, you say, right, why would you become parents?
I was just about to say, Tom, you are a parent.
What?
Yeah. I've got something to shout at.
No more kick-ups. Nearly finished. No. Daddy's podcasting. What you don't see is my dad's stood just in the corner over there, shouting at me to make more comments. I'm trying, Dad. I'm trying.
My dad's telling me to do less.
That's true. Have we all reached this pinnacle in comedy because we had one mad parent?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
My dad drove from Wolverhampton to Wimbledon to watch me in the Laughing Horse New Act semi-final.
Oh, wow.
I think there's an element of madness there.
Yeah.
He should have said no, son.
How did it go?
I was up against Joe Wilkinson. You can't really argue with that. You know what I mean?
You can't.
Well, not if you've got a loser mentality, certainly. And I hope your dad reminded you of that.
Bollocked me all the way back to Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
That's how it's done, son. That's how it's done. Effortless, that was. It was like he didn't even want to be up there and he was making us laugh. Stop trying so hard.
Oh, I'm actually finding all this quite painful now.
Yeah, it's quite.
No, it's actually pushing a few buttons I didn't want to push. But they exist, so let's push them. They're there. You know, our upbringing gave us buttons, right? You know, you've got to push them, haven't you? That's what they're there for. What's our final piece of excellent advice? Do you think it is call out the dads or snitch on the dads? Because Ewan has said he doesn't want that kind. He doesn't want to join them. He doesn't want to become a sort of toxic dad.
I mean, the tricky thing is, I think he seems to be doing the right thing, doesn't he?
One final suggestion is celebrate his misses as much as you celebrate his goals and lead by example.
Treat those two imposters just the same.
Wow,
if he has a shot and it doesn't go wide, big celebration, singing, how well done, lad. I think you're
tried,
mental.
Mate. You tried. Because, you know, that's true. What's the old Wayne Gretzky thing of you miss 100% of the shots you don't take? That's what he's doing. He's going for
absolutely
it. He's trying.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's... I
miss all of the shots I do take as well, though.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem.
I might as well not take them because it's knackering that way.
Yeah, he gave you both of those bits of advice, didn't he? That was a bad training session. It was your first time playing ice hockey, though. Should have got a bit easier on your clocky.
The great one meets the shit one. That's hardly fair.
Who are you, my dad?
What a twist that would be to this episode. Yeah, I think that's good advice, Tom. Beef solved.
Beef solved.
From the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved. Well, Eric, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Well, thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Great. I love it.
It's been great. Who is your guest next week?
Oh, who have we got? We've also got you guys again.
Thank you.
Great.
We've got guest host Fern Brady, so that'll be good.
Great.
Oh, yeah, Fern on the show. Okay. Taking over, taking the baton from me, yeah.
Wow, okay.
We'll, We'll send Fern a DM and tell her she says in the podcast. Yeah. She'll be happy. I think she's on holiday at the moment, but she can find the time. It takes 90 minutes. So if people want to... Now, I first saw you through your brilliant Instagram, where you post clips of gigs going a variety of ways.
Yeah.
Because too many comics post all of their good stuff, like their best crowd work, all
yeah,
the time,
when
the audience is completely on their side. Whereas you don't, you take the path less travelled.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, I suppose it's not as successful for getting people to follow you, but
long game, man.
Well, I find those the funniest bits when there's just because the circuit's mad. You do all sorts of gigs in such random rooms that aren't equipped for comedy. I mean, that's what I'm basically doing in the fringing, but it's just like. And people that don't want to be at gigs, and I don't know, maybe that becomes less the higher you go up in the circuit. But I think there's so many beautiful moments. I find them really funny.
I adore watching your clips. I think they're absolutely brilliant. And I enjoyed them so much that I came and saw you, as I said, live at the Vault Festival. And I was disappointed at how good a gig you had.
Right, yeah. Wow.
That's a strange thing.
It's not yeah.
the same persona. I wanted him to have an absolute stinker with people chatting away and walking out. But you actually, disappointingly, he had the audience in the palm of his hand from minute one. And I thought, this is not what I paid for.
Yeah, I tried to keep that off Instagram.
not a single clip from that show.
Yeah.
Remind us again, your show 3:45 at the Long Room, is that right?
Yes, 3:45 in the Long Room in Cabaret Voltaire every day. And also, can I plug, I'm recording the show in a good room on October the 7th at Birmingham Glee. There's tickets still available if people want to come.
Brilliant. Awesome. good luck for the rest of the fringe, man. I hope
thank you
thanks
very much.
So much, buddy. What a pleasure.
Thank you, thanks for coming on.
Wow, that was good, wasn't it?
That was good.
Enjoyed that. I really enjoyed it, but can I say I'm kind of guilty of, I'm not saying you should wish away hours, but as I was listening to it, I couldn't help but think at the end of this, we're going to get to listen to another jingle. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the listen, but I knew this bit was coming.
Listen, I just want to say to anyone who skipped ahead to just hear the outro, which I know some people do, they listen to the intro and the outro and not the main body of the episode. I know a lot of people do that. We got a lot of emails about that.
The Top and Tailors, they call themselves.
The Top and Tailors, as they call themselves, yeah.
Check them out on Facebook. They're a very fun group, the Top and Tailors.
They're doing the fringe at the moment, the Top and Tailors. They're doing a really, really great job. They're in the Long Room.
There's a Long Room at either end of it, aren't they?
Yeah, but yeah, they've made it work for themselves, yeah. The Top is at the
perfect
top, the Tailors are at the tail. Yeah, it works out perfectly. So, if you've skipped ahead, do go back and listen to the episode because it's a fantastic episode. But let's treat you now to this next jingle. This comes from our dear friend, James. James Bulbeck is his name. Hello all, hope you're well. I've been inspired by your clarion call for jingles towards your highly successful and not at all misguided hotline. I do hope you appreciate my attempt at making an otherwise catchy and instantly recognisable phone number memorable. Like all my Pappy's interactions, I've had a few beers. As a result, I hope you can forgive the self-indulgent and completely unnecessary guitar solo at the end. Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
Please.
Oh, drink baby. Makes fools of us all. Much love and always appreciative. Jim from Harrow via Bosham. Okay, folks, this is James Bulbeck, a.k.a. Jim from Harrow via Bosham, and here's jingle.
Oh,
phenomenal.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, who knew Harrow was short for harrowing?
Beautiful.
That was great.
So two very strong, I would say. We've got Bennett and Jim there. Two very strong jingles. I've already done a little cut down version because I love the bit which is just singing the number. I mean, the zombie pastiche, it's very on brand for us, but you know, not necessarily useful to helping people remember the number. 02 08 1 2 3 3 2 7 2. We've got two little things now we can use to remind people. If you want to get involved, guys, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com or pappiesflatshare@gmail.com. Send us a jingle today.
Anything else?
Join the Patreon. Leave us a review. Leave us a rating on Spotify as well. That's if you're listening to this on Spotify, which I know some of you are, please do leave us a rating on Spotify because it really helps for people to hear this podcast. So leave us a review, leave us a rating, like, subscribe, rate, follow, all the things you have to do. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.